So we are holding on Tamachtes Amud Aleph, the eighth line. We learned yesterday about a machlokes between Munbaz and the Chachamim, in this case being on the face of it, Rabbi Akiva, discussing the question, what is the definition of Shogig? We had Munbaz saying that the definition of Shogig can be even if he knew at the, well, first of all, we have the question about if a person never knew about Shabbos, does that make him shogig or does that make him maybe honest? So would he be chayv in a korban or not? We mentioned a machlokes with Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish on that, and then we tied that in with machlokes and Munbaz and Rav Akiva. But the bigger thing we were focusing on was another matter, which is suppose the person knows at the time that what he's doing is osur, but he doesn't know that he's going to be chayv a korban for it. Does that make him shogig or not? We said Munbaz says yes, that shigras korban is shmosh gogo, is considered a shogig, and the Rabbanon say that not. The Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Akiva, say that not. So now we have to talk. Okay, so we clarified Munbaz's opinion. We clarified because he hadn't specified in the Braita what the shogig is exactly according to him. So we clarified that he doesn't know that he has to bring a korban, and we discussed where he gets this from. So now we have to ask, according to the Rabbanon, Shgoga B'mai. Now we have to ask, okay, the Rabbanon, Rabbi Akiva, does not accept this idea that Shigas Korban is considered a Shgoga. According to him, if a person knows that what he's doing is Osir, then he's going to be Chayav a Korban, regardless whether he's going to be Chayav a Korban. But within, he's going to be Potter from a Korban, because then he's not Shogig anymore, then he's made it. But the question is, within Shogig, what exactly is it that he doesn't know about the issue that he's doing that can make him chayv in a korban? Now, again, we discussed yesterday that in order to be chayv in a korban chatas, he has to have done something that, if he had done it, the mazid would get him kares. And, of course, it has to be a lav. So the question is, which of those factors does he have to be unaware of at the time? Obviously, if he doesn't even know that what he did was also, then of course, no question about it. That's considered tricky. But is it possible that he knew that even according to the Rabbanon, he knew what he's doing is also and still might be considered tricky? Namely, if he doesn't know about the Kares. So that's the question. The Rabbanon Shgoga B'mai. According to the Rabbanon, what kind of Shgoga, so they're saying to not know that you have to bring a korban, that's sort of a side thing, because you know there's a seriousness of the avera, you know that it's a lav, you know that it's kares. Therefore, the fact that you didn't know that there's a korban, okay, that's not enough according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Akiva, to make you a shogig. But within that itself, you have lav and you have kares. What is it that he has to have not known? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kivin Shashogig B'kares. So Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as he didn't know that there was Kares, even if he knew that this is also as a lav, he would still not bring a korban. He still would bring the korban. He would bring a korban because he would be considered a shogig. Because we would take the view, in other words, that the fact that he didn't know that it's Kares, and Kares is an essential prerequisite for bringing the chatas. So it means, in other words, so it would be considered that Rashi uses the expression, the korban comes for the kares, as we said before. So therefore, if he doesn't know that it's chayav kares, then he can still be considered a shogig and have to bring that very same korban. Rav Shlokish says that no, actually, it would have to be that he didn't know that it was also as a lav at all, and he didn't know that there was kares. You have a big machlokes rishonim on the subject. You have the Ritva, and some other rishonim say that what we mean is, according to Rish Lakish, the only kind of shogig would be what we mentioned yesterday, omer mutter, where he actually thinks that the thing itself is completely mutter. In other words, according to the Ritva, and he proves it from a point later in the Gemara, that if he knew that if he even if he knew that there's an issur esa involved, but he didn't want it. It wouldn't be enough that he knows that there's an, even if he knows that there's an Isser Esther, well, then that wouldn't be enough because he still knows it's also to do. He just thinks that there's an Esther instead of a lamb. We know you have certain things in the Torah where the Torah doesn't spell out, don't do such and such. It just says, do such and such, and from that we infer that you shouldn't do the opposite. We're going to have an example of that actually with Shabbos later. So there is far right that if he knows that even according to Rish Lakish, even if he knows that what he's doing is also on some level, for example, on Esther, that wouldn't be enough to make him a shogeg. It would actually have to be that he thinks the thing is completely mutter to do. As opposed to you have other Rishonim, the Rashba talks about maybe not, maybe you don't need that. It could be that it's enough for him to know that even if he knows that it's an Esther Esther, as long as he doesn't know that it's a lav, according to Rish Lakish, he's still bringing the chasa. Okay. Amar Rava, my time is of Shimon Lakish. So why does Shimon Lakish say that he has to not know that it was a lav as well? So Rav Yochanan's opinion, we understand. Again, given that we said before that to bring a chasas, an essential prerequisite if there is a chayiv karis. So according to Rav Yochanan, if he doesn't know that it's chayiv karis, then that's enough of a shgaga for him to be bringing the chasas. But according to Rish Lakish, why does he have to not know that it was a lav as well? The answer is Amakra, Sherloi Sarsanabish Gogov Ashim, because the Pasuk says that he does an Aveda, which is not allowed to be done, and he does it by mistake, and therefore he's guilty, and therefore he brings a chasa. Meaning, when it says Asher Loi Sayosena, that it should not be done, Bishgogov Ashim, Ajishkog, the lav of Kurdish Shaba, so it has to be that he didn't know about the lav either, because the word Loi Sayosena implies the lav. Whereas Rav Yechanan would say, now we're going to say in a second what Rav Yechanan is going to do with that process, but as far as Rav Yechanan's original opinion, in the Sukkim that talk about Bunga Chasas, we talked about yesterday, we have the Hekish that Rav Yeshua ben Levi pointed out between other Averis and Avodah Zarah, and then in turn, where we said Avodah Zarah is Chayev Karis Amazed, and therefore for an Avera to be Chayev Chasas, it has to be also Chorus the Mavid, it doesn't say anywhere in the Psukim over there the word lav or anything that implies a lav. The Pasuk starts off with them. If a person makes a mistake, I should give Hashem a Moshe, that if a person doesn't do all of these mitzvahs which Hashem commanded to Moshe, which we said means Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is compared to Kol HaTorah Kula. So you actually don't have anywhere in the Pesukim over there where it says, don't do, or it should not be done, or whatever. So therefore, that's why Rav Yechanan says. So it's not necessary for him to not know that this shouldn't have been done. It's enough that he knows it's not Chayiv Karis. It's enough that he doesn't know that it's Chayiv Karis. Whereas Rish Lakish focuses on a different topic, which mentions Lo Yisayasana. So for Rav Yechanan, Chayiv Karis, Rav Shimon Lakish, my other way. Okay, then what does Rav Yechanan do with Rav Shimon Lakish's positive, which mentions the words Lo Yisayasana? The answer is Mibori Levachinatanya. He uses it to teach us a different din. Like this, where the Pasuk says, Me'am Ha'oretz, the Pasuk says that a person brings the korban from the Am Ha'oretz, from the people of the land, and the Mem is a miut, meaning that the Mem is a miut, meaning that not all the people have to bring a chasa. So who are we excluding? Pras l'mumer. We're saying as opposed to a mumer. A mumer, in more common terminology, a mumer, meshumad, maybe actually an uncensored gemara, whatever. In common terminology, we know that it means somebody who gave up Yiddishkeit altogether, chas v'shalom, and decided to convert to another religion or something. In gemara terminology, mumer or meshumad, whatever, means something a little broader than that. It means somebody who decided about a particular mitzvah that it doesn't apply to him anymore, and he just goes and violates all that mitzvah, all the time just with casually. So let's say, for example, you have a person. Now, if it was Shabbos that he did that, actually, Shabbos is also to a certain extent considered like Kol HaTorah Kula, and a person who's Mechal Shabbos and Tahesia is considered
to a large extent like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. His wine is Yayin Nesach, for example. But here we're talking about other mitzvahs. So let's say a person decided that Chalev doesn't apply to him. So So from now on, he's going to just eat chalev whenever he feels like it. That mitzvah doesn't apply to him. If, let's say, one time he eats chalev by mistake, he didn't realize this particular time that it's chalev, and he wants to bring a korban, we're saying that he can't, because he's a mumer for that mitzvah.
All right, Rav Shimon Alaza Omer Mishum Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Alaza says in the name of Rav Shimon, you don't learn that from the word me'amaret, but rather from the continuation of the pasuk, which is the part of the pasuk that Rish Lakish had brought, where it says, Asher lo se'asena b'shgagav ha'ashem. It says that he did an aveda which should not have been done by mistake, and he's guilty, implying, Ashazli di asay, only if he's the kind of person who would have avoided doing what he did, if he knew that what he's doing is also maybe korban ashim rasei, only he brings a korban for his shugaga. But if he's the kind of person where even if he knew that what he's doing is wrong, he wouldn't have changed his mind. He wouldn't have gone back from doing it, and he made the korban ashim rasei, then he doesn't bring a korban for his shugaga, as is the case with a mu'mer. The Gemara mentions this concept in Cholin as well. Among other things, the Gemara discusses over there, why do we need two different places to learn it? What's the Nafka Minna between the Tanakhama and the Rosh Hashanah Lazer? And the Gemara explains over there that what if you have a mumer for one mitzvah, for one iser, who did a different iser? Let's say you have, again, our mumer that we're talking about over here, who decided that the concept of chalev doesn't apply to him, and he just eats chalev habitually. Then you have, let's say, one time by accident he ate blood, or he broke Shabbos, or whatever. Would he bring a chatas for that? The Tanakhama says no, because prof la mumer, because the fact of the matter is, he's a mumer for one avera, and that excludes him from bringing a korban for any avera. Whereas Rav Shimon Alazar would take the view that no, the fact is, he is shav midiyasa. He would have, if he knew that chalev the author, he would have avoided eating it, because after all, he's not a mumer as far as chalev. As far as he's concerned, the mitzvah of chalev, the iser of not chalev, of dam. The iser of dam, let's say, does apply to him, or the iser of Shabbos applies to him. Therefore, Rav Shimon Alazar says that he would bring a chatas for that. He just wouldn't bring a chatas for the one avero, the individual avero, or whatever, for which that he's a mumer for. So that's an afternina. Rashi over there also explains that shav mediyasa, there's two possible meanings. Shav can mean meloshin yashav, that he would have sat and not done the aveda if he knew that it was asur. And it can also be shav, that he would go back and he would stop himself and not do the aveda if he knew it was asur. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I agree with Rabbi Shimon Alazar, and in fact the halacha is like him. So the mumer for a particular mitzvah can't bring a korban for that particular mitzvah, but he can bring it for other isurim that he was over on. Therefore, we use the word asher lo se'asena for that, and therefore we don't have it available for the shlokish's drasha about that he needs to not know that there was a lav at all. Okay. So let's analyze their machlokes. The Gemara says Tanan. We learn in the next Mishnah on Dafayim Gimel. We're finally going to start listing the actual 39 malachas that are also on Shabbos, and it starts by giving a number. It starts saying there are 39 malachas, and then it enumerates them. Vahabinan ba, so we ask the question in that Gemara. Minyana lamali, why is the Tana giving us a number? We ourselves can count up the malachas in the Mishnah and see that there are 39 of them. So why does he have to start by saying that there are 39? The Omer of Yechanan, and Rav Yechanan says what it means is she'im ason kulam behelam echad chayv akalachas achas. Suppose that, now we had an on mission of the case where a person knew that it was Shabbos, but didn't know that these particular actions are osur, and he ended up doing them. So we said he's chayv an individual chatas for each one. So Rav Yechanan says the reason why the Mishnah mentions the number 39 is to tell us that that's the maximum number of chatois that a person could be bringing for breaking Shabbos. Because even if he did, or because we said in our Mishnah, that even if he did an av and a toldos, or an av and the ain that av, whatever, he'd be chayav only one chatois. So let's say, for example, you have a malacha, as we mentioned yesterday, you have, let's say, a malacha of planting, and it also includes pruning trees to promote their growth, and it also includes watering plants, etc. So now, let's say a person did all those three things, he'd still only be chayav one chatas. And the same thing with each of the 39 malachas, each one of them has toldos. And for each malacha, for each av malacha, if he did it plus one or more of its toldos, or one or more of its me'ein, he's still chayev only for the actual avos. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that's what the 39 in that Mishnah means, the maximum number of chatos that he's bringing for breaking Sabbath, even if he did every single malacha of Sabbath, would be 39. Therefore, the number. So, now, what does that mean? How do you find that he did, that he, where is he chayev 39 chatos? That would be, as we said before, the Zodin Shabbos for Shidras Malachas, where he's made it on Shabbos, namely he knows that it's Shabbos, but he doesn't know. He's triggered on the Malachas. He didn't realize that these Malachas are off. So, the Shleim of Rav Yechanan. Now, so that works out, according to Rav Yechanan, the Amar Kibin Sheshagad B'Karet Afa Pishahizid B'Lav. He says that even if it was triggered as far as the Karet aspect, so he didn't realize that these things are chayav karis, even though he knew that they're also in a lab. Good. So we could have the scenario could be he knows that there's a lab in the Torah. To not do malachas on Shabbos. He goes and does them anyway because he figures big deal. It's not chayav karis, and therefore so he actually knew. He actually knew that Shabbos was a lav, and he knew that there were activities on the Shabbos that are osur, but he went and did them thinking that it's okay because he's not chayav kodesh, and therefore he's bringing a chatos for each one of them. Ela l'Rav Shimon ben Lakish d'amad sheyishkes b'lav of a kodesh. But if you say, according to Rish Lakish, that for him to be shogeg, it has to actually be that he didn't even know that there was a lav involved, well then, d'yadol ala Shabbos b'mai. Then in what sense does he know of Shabbos? If you're saying the case has to be that there was Zodin Shabbos, where he knows it's Shabbos, but forgot all of the malachas, so he doesn't know b'chlal that there's a lav involved in Shabbos. So in what sense can you say he knows Shabbos? Tosfos brings up the point. Why not? Maybe he knows there's an esed involved in Shabbos. He knows there's a mitzvah over Yom HaShvi'i Tishbos. So the Ritva actually brings a proof from here for what he said before, that if the person knows that there's any kind of issue on it, then actually, according to the Shlokish, he wouldn't bring a chatos. So there's the answer. Obviously, therefore, it has to be that he didn't know that there's an essay of Shabbos either. He thought that Shabbos is maybe just like a nice practice that Jews do. He didn't realize that there was an essay or a lois essay involved. As far as the other Rishonim will learn differently, they would say, okay, if he knows there's an esed to rest on Shabbos, but he doesn't know any of the malachas, you can't really say that that's considered knowing the esed of Shabbos, because that involves knowing the esed involves that he knows that there's rest that you have to do on Shabbos from malachas. So it has to be that he knew. It has to be at least that he knew that there's something you can't do on Shabbos.
Even if he doesn't know exactly what is the consequence, whether it's karis or not karis, the fact that he knows that it's a lav, it's his obligation to check it. And if he doesn't check it, then he should be chayav.
Well, that's the thing. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, he is. Because even though the only thing he didn't know is that it's chayav karis, he's still chayav. The Shlokish would take the view, again, based on the process that he quoted before, the process Gasher Lo Yisrael, that he has to actually not know that there's a lav involved. And according to the Rishba, he also has to even not know that there was no essay involved. Whereas, again, according to the Rashba, he can know that there's an essay, he just can't know. And according to Tosfos, implicitly, he can know that there's an essay, he just doesn't know that there's a lois essay.
If he knows that there's an essay, it's his responsibility to check that there is no lav.
That's fine. Nevertheless, the Shlokish would say, so again, if he knows that there's an essay, then you have that machlokas Rishonim. According to the Ritva, that's still not enough to make him chayav chatos, because it would have to be that he completely was unaware that this thing is also to do at all. Once he knows that there's an esed, then already, as you're saying, there's a degree of mazid in there, and you know that a mazid doesn't bring a carbon. Whereas according to the Rashba, the fact that he didn't know that there was a lav is enough to make him a shogeg. As he knew that there was an esed, okay, there's lots of things in the Torah that are eseds, but you don't have a corresponding lav, so you know, so therefore we can still consider him shogeg. You have also a question that Rishonim bring up So why don't we say that he didn't? So why don't we say that he knew that there's a mitzvah of Kiddush and Havdalah on Shabbos? So the answer is, again, because that's not considered knowing the essential thing of Shabbos. If he knows that, remember, you have like this. When it comes to Shabbos, you have the Rambam enumerates there are five mitzvahs of Shabbos. One of them is the loisef, the loisef from Malacha. Another one is the mitzvah saseh, to rest on Shabbos. And a different one is the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos verbally by Kiddush and Havdalah. So we're saying, if he knows the essay of Shabbos, he knows that the mitzvah in the Torah by Yom HaShvi Tishvos, then you have the machlokes between the Ritva and everybody else, whether he be chayev or not, according to Rish Lakish. But if you have, let's say he didn't know of that essay, but he knew of the essay of Kiddush or Havdalah, that wouldn't be enough to make it that he should be considered that he knew about Shabbos, because he doesn't know about the essential thing of Shabbos. Once you have, the Torah tells us to rest on Shabbos, and not to do malacha, then you also have, the Torah tells us you should mention that verbally. So therefore, if he knows about Kiddush and Havdalah and nothing else, then you can't say that that's considered that he knows about the essence of Shabbos. Then we would have to say that it's considered that he forgot all about Shabbos, and then, as we said in the Mishnah, so either he doesn't know about Shabbos at all, and then he's bringing one chatos for all of the Shabbosim, or he knows about Shabbos, but he doesn't know that today is Shabbos, and he's bringing a chatos for each Shabbos. But you can't have the case where he'd bring a chatos for each individual malacha, because that would require zodah and Shabbos, and that requires knowing something about Shabbos itself. Not enough that he knows about Kiddush and Havdalah. So that's why the Gemara wants to find that, according to Rish Lakish, how do you have a case where he knows that there's something that is also to do on Shabbos, but it's not one of the 39 malachas.
And yet in Kiddush we say that he shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't work on Shabbos. He shouldn't know about it if he knows Kiddush.
Maybe, and it could be that he's saying the words without realizing what he's saying. But keep in mind also, you know, it's not required of Yalocha to say the paragraph of Yom HaShishi or the paragraph of Zohar at Yom HaShabbos. First of all, in Vayichulu, for sure enough, when we say Vayichulu in Friday Night Kiddush, it doesn't say explicitly that we should therefore rest on Shabbos. It says Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So the person could think, okay, so that doesn't mean that I can't do Malachas on Shabbos. He doesn't know. But even in the daytime Kiddush, you're not required to say the Pesukim by night or by day at all. Technically, you can be Yotze Kiddush just by saying the Bracha HaGofen, and by night also the Bracha on the day. And again, the Bracha on Shabbos doesn't mention explicitly not doing Malacha. Shabbos Kodshei Ba'avo Rotin Him Tzivonu, the Koran Lamaise Bereshis. It doesn't say anything in there about Malacha, so it could be. Anyway, but that's the point. The Ritva is saying that just because he knows about Kiddush is not enough to be considered that he knows about the essence of Shabbos. The Gemara is saying over here, for it to be considered that he knows about the essence of Shabbos, it has to be either, according to the other Rishonim, at least that he knows that there's an essay of Shabbos, maybe, and according to the Ritva, not even that, that he knows that he has to know that there's a lav in order to make him potter from a chatas. But he has to know that there's a lav of Shabbos, and that makes him that now he knows about Shabbos to the extent where now he can be chayv a chatas for each of his individual malachas. So according to Rish Lakish, what is that lav of Shabbos that he knows about? The answer is, suppose he knows that there's a lav to not, suppose that he knows that there's a lav to not walk outside the Tchum on Shabbos. And therefore, Rish Lakish would be going in that according to Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva holds that Tchumin are Daraisa. You have Machlokas in a couple of places of chat between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about whether Tchumin are Daraisa or about whether Tchumin are Daraisa or Zerabach. So Rabbi Akiva holds that they're Daraisa. So therefore, he knows an actual Easter of Shabbos, but it's not something that would make him chayev. It's not something that in and of itself would make him chayev a chasos, let alone kares or whatever. The most he'd be chayev for it, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be malchus. Therefore, you can have that he knows. So there you go. He knows it's also to walk outside the Tchum on Shabbos. He doesn't know, but he thinks that's the only Easter of Shabbos. And therefore, so therefore it's considered that he knows about Shabbos in itself to the extent that now he can be chayav individually a chatos for each of the malachas that he does. By the way, you have the Yerushalmi wants to say actually that the Chachamim do agree that there is such a thing as a chum min haTorah, however, it's 12 mil rather than 1 mil. Some of the Rishonim say that evidently our Gemara is disagreeing with that, because otherwise the Gemara could have said that not just the Kohen of Akiva, who holds that the Tchum of 2,000 Amos is made out of Isa, he could have said, the Gemara could have said, according to the Rabbanon, that the Tchum of 12 mil. Other Rishonim deflect that, because they say, look, I mean, you know, at least you have, a person could conceivably know about the Tchum of 2,000 Amos, because they mark it outside the city. As the Gemara mentions in Erevin, yeah, they had surveyors who would measure the 2,000 Amos, and they would put up boundary markers. Nobody's going to know about the 12,000 amma, about the 12 mil, the 24,000 amma limit, unless he's learned Hilchos Shabbos. And if he learns Hilchos Shabbos, then he knows about the malachos as well. So you're not going to have to just know about any one of them. In any case, so the Rambam actually paskins like that understanding, though, that the 12 mil tchum is the Raisa. The 2,000 mil tchum is the Rabbanon. So not like Rabbi Akiva, who says the 2,000 mil one is the Raisa, but he does accept what the Yerushalmi says, that a 12 mil tchum is the Raisa. In any case, returning to Rish Lakish over here, so that's what it is. So Rish Lakish would say, hypothetically, if you had a person who the only lab he knew about Shabbos is that there's an issue of Tchumen, of 2,000 amos, according to Rabbi Akiva, or maybe a 12th of 24,000 amos, according to the Chachamim, but he didn't know about any of the malachas, then if he does all the malachas on a Shabbos, then he's chayav an individual chatas for each of the malachas. But Rish Lakish would say, if he didn't know of any lav of Shabbos at all, then you can't say. And according to the Ritzvah, also if he didn't know that there was any essay involved in resting on Shabbos, then you can't. Then you can't be mechayiv machatas. Then you're not mechayiv machatas individually for each of the malachas, but rather you mechayiv him one chatas collectively for all the Shabbos that he broke, or for each individual Shabbos that he broke, as the case may be. The Gemara continues, Man Tana Laha de Tana Rabbanon, which, now, let's return to, okay, so that was all Machlokas, Rabbi Yechanan, and Rish Lakish within the opinion of the Rabbanon in the Braisa that we quoted yesterday. We quoted a Braisa, again, where Munbaz gave a definition of Shogig, where he can actually be knowing that what he's doing is Osir, and even that he knows that it's a lav. And we said he just doesn't know that there's, he maybe even knows that there's Koris involved, he just doesn't know that there's a Korban involved, and according to Munbaz, that's enough to pastor him from that Korban. That's enough to be Mechayim him in that Korban, rather. It's hard to keep things straight over here. According to Munbaz, that would still be considered a Shogig, even if he made it on the lav and made it on the kodesh, but shogig on the actual korban itself, that's enough to make him a shogig, and therefore he brings the korban. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, no. And then within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, then we had the argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish whether knowing that there's a lav is enough to take him out of the category of shogig or not, where Rabbi Yochanan said that yes, even if he knows that there's a lav, but he doesn't know there's kares, he can still be chayav in the korban, and Rish Lakish saying that he actually has to not know that there's a lav at all. Okay. So now let's get back to Munbaz and the Chachamim. Man Tana Lahor Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa? Shogig Bazeh over there. If the person was shogig on both things, on both Shabbos and Malachas, so he didn't know it's also to do Malacha on Shabbos, and he didn't know about the Malachas, though shogig on the Torah, that would be an example of the shogig that it says in the Torah, and therefore he's bringing a Kodesh. He did Bazeh, which actually the Gemara is going to take up tomorrow, the question, what if he doesn't know both? If he doesn't know it's Shabbos and he doesn't know it's Malachas, how many korbanos is he bringing? Is he bringing is he bringing one korban because he didn't know about Shabbos, because he didn't know that today is Shabbos, or is he bringing multiple korbanos because he didn't know about these malachas? We'll see about that tomorrow in the Gemara. Anyway, but in any case, he's considered a shogeg because he didn't know about Shabbos, he didn't know about the malachas. Hizid bazel bazeh, if he was mazed on both Shabbos and the malachas, zui mazed on the Torah, then he's been mazed that it says in the Torah. So fine. Shogeg b'Shabbos v'hizid b'malachas. What if he was shogeg as far as Shabbos, but mazed as far as malachas? So he didn't know that today is Shabbos, but if he had known today was Shabbos, then he would have known not to do these things, because he knows that those things are also on Shabbos. Or he's shogeg b'malachas v'hizid b'Shabbos, or the other way around, he was shogeg on the malacha and mazed on Shabbos, so he knows today is Shabbos and that malacha is osur, but he didn't know that this particular activity is osur. Or continues the braisa, suppose he says, Yedeani shemalacha du asura, I do know that this malacha that I'm about to do is osur. But I don't know whether you'd be chayav a korban for it or not. In all those cases, chayav, kaman to munvaz. That would be like munvaz. Because again, we said before that munvaz would say that munvaz would say even if he was shogeg on the fact that he didn't know he has to bring a korban, that's enough to make him considered a shogeg. Again, according to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't be like that. It would actually be that there would actually have to be he's unaware of the Koresh, according to Rabbi Yechanan, or he's unaware even of the Lav, according to Rish Lakish. Okay. Omer Abaya, so Abaya says in this connection, now, we have as far as Shabbos, where, again, there's two factors that are needed in order to make them chayv in the korban. Number one, there's more than two factors, but as far as you have that there's a lav, and you have that lav carries a penalty of koreis for bezin. Now you have a different case, and then the machlokas is which of those factors does he have to be unaware of to make him a shogeg? Does he have to be unaware of both of them, which is Rish Lakish, or is it enough that he's unaware of only the koreis, which is Rabbi Yechanan? But now the Gemara is going to digress and talk about a different case where you have a lab, you don't have koreis, and there's a korban involved, and the question is what it is that he has to not know. Amar Abaya, hakol mojim b'shavuas bitui, everybody would agree when it comes to shavuas bitui. Now, shavuas bitui is, we say in Masechta Shavuos that shavuas shtayim shein arba, there's two which break down to four. Namely, a shvuas bitui is a person makes a shvua and which turns out a shvua which is false. And you have those four different ways. You can have the two lahaba. You can have a person can swear, for example, I will eat, and then he doesn't eat. Or you can have the other way around. The person swears, I will not eat, and then he eats. And then you also have in the past, you have l'sha'omar, it's called. I swear that I ate today, and he hadn't eaten. Or I swear that I didn't eat today, and he had eaten. So all those four are called shvuas bitui, and if he does it the shogeg, then he's bringing a korban. He's bringing a korban over the yoreh. So Abaya says, "Hakol moedim shvuas bitui." Everybody would agree when it comes to the shvuas bitui, she'en chayav an alav korban ad sheyishkeg b'lav shaba, that he's not bringing a korban unless he's shogeg on the lav in it. Now, in other words, like this. So again, there's no koreis involved over there. So now Rashi explains that what does it mean? Shogeg b'lav shaba. Rashi explains it would mean that he actually forgot that he actually forgot about his shvua when he ate. So he made a shvua, let's say, not to eat. And he ate. So then, if he forgot his shavua, then it would be shogeg b'lav shavua. Tosfos actually argues with that, says that wouldn't be considered shogeg b'lav shavua. It would have to be that he remembered his shavua, but he thought that you were allowed to be over on a shavua. Okay. In any case, so everybody agrees. So you want to ask that kol moedim man. Now, so far we've had two machlokes in. We had Munbaz and the Chachamim, and we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Which machlokes is Abaya referring to when he says when he says at kol moedim of necessity, Rabbi Yochanan, it must be that he means Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rashi says, Abaya cannot be referring to the machlokes of Munbaz and the Chachamim and say that Munbaz would agree with that, because Rashi says you don't need that. In other cases in the Torah, there's no chiddush that the person has to bring a korban, because we know there's a general rule whenever there's an Isser Kares B'mezid, then, or almost every case where there's an Isser Kares B'mezid, then there's a chatas B'shegig, and still Munbaz is saying that even in those cases, even though he knows it's chayev Kares, but he thinks that it's not chayev chatas, and still Munbaz says that he's chayiv in the chatas because he's shregig, how much more so where there's no kares, just the carbon, then of course Munbaz would say that just the opposite. Munbaz for sure would not be moed over here. He would make chavachomer from his case involving kares and say, just like over there where he doesn't know about the kares, where he knows about the kares, just not about the carbon, and still he's higher than the carbon, how much more so where there's no kares even involved and he just doesn't know about the lab, for sure he's going to be higher than the carbon. So Abaya cannot be saying Hakol Moedim and referring to Munbaz. Obviously, therefore, we have to be referring back to the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and saying that. Here Rabbi Yochanan is saying that in the case of Shabbos, he has to be unaware of the Kares. It's enough that he's unaware of the Kares, even if he knows about the Lav, he's still high of the Karban. Rabbi Yochanan would agree over here, where there's no Kares, then he has to not know about the Lav. The Gemara says, in that case, Pshita. Okay, but in that case, it's obvious. After all, Rabbi Yochanan is only talking about where there are both factors, where there is a lab and there is kares, but where there's no kares, even Rabbi Yochanan is not saying, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, obviously there has to be some kind of shogeg. Rabbi Yochanan is not talking according to Munbaz's opinion, he's not talking according to Munbaz's opinion that he can be chayev, that he can be chayev a korban even when he didn't know about the korban itself. We're talking within the Chachamim's opinion, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that he has to, that shigas korban is not considered a shrugga, and there has to be some other factor that leads to a korban that he doesn't know about. In the case where there's a lav and kares, fine, it can be that he's aware of the lav but not of the kares. Here, there's no kares. Obviously, he has to not be aware of the lav, otherwise what's he shrugging in? So why does Abaya need to mention to us? Why does Abaya need to tell us that Rabbi Yochanan would say that Rabbi Yochanan would say that if he's unaware of the lab, then he's bringing the curve? The answer is Abaya's chiddush is sakadat chamina, because you would have thought like this: hoy of a chay of korban chiddushu, because the whole fact that he's chay of a korban for shvuas bitui is a chiddush. The b'chalat Torah kula like ashtachon lab the mighty alei korban. You never find in the Torah a lav without kares, that almost never, you never, a lav without kares that you don't, that you bring a chatas for. This is pretty much unique. Where you have a couple of other exceptions as well, but all of those are exceptions to the general rule that you bring the chatas when the Avera was high of kares to mezid. A shvuas bitui, there's no kares involved. The maximum penalty a person could get if he's over on a shvuas bitui to mezid is Malchus, and he's punished by Hashem also because of the Chilasha, but whatever, we're not getting into that. The point is, though, Kores there isn't. So the fact that he should have to even bring a Korban Chasos is a Chidush. So therefore, Vahacha Maisi, here the Torah is telling him to bring a Korban, even though it was a lab without Kores. So, Ki Shogun B'Korban Nami L'Chayim. So you would think, maybe in this case, Rabbi Yochanan would say, maybe in this case we're going to make an exception and go like Munbaz and say that even if he knew that it's a lab, but he didn't know that there's a korban, maybe that would be enough to make him a shogeg. Maybe you would say that when there's a lab and kares, then it's enough if he doesn't know there's kares. And if there's a lab and a korban, then it's enough if he's unaware of the korban. Therefore, Abaya wants to tell us not like that. Abaya wants us to know that even in that Abaya wants us to know that in that case, Rabbi Yochanan would say that no, forget about shigas korban, that shigas lav, that 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 Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, where Rabbi Yochanan would agree, which in turn implies, therefore, that the Chachamim are going, that even then the Chachamim are going to disagree with Munbaz, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and say that you need to have, that he needs to be shogig on the lav itself. Even then, the Chachamim are going to say, ain't shigas korban, that shigas korban lav shmei shgaga. That not knowing about the korban is not enough to be considered a shogig, and therefore that's what Abaya wants to tell us, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, and according to the Shlokish, that would be the case. The Chachamim still would disagree in the case of the year, even though there's no kodesh, there's only a lav and a korban, that it's not enough that he doesn't know about the korban, it has to be that he didn't know about the lav. Okay, so Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction to that, though. A braita says, a zehu shigas shvuas bitui l'shava, what is the definition of a shgaga of shvuas bitui in the past? Again, we said that there are two kinds, which are four, of shvuas bitui. You have two of them l'haba, and two of them l'shava, two of them about what he's going to do in the future, and two about what he did in the past. The two in the past are, again, that he swears, for example, I ate, and really he hadn't eaten, or he swears I didn't eat, and really he had. So the question is, Rashi says, when it comes l'haba, it's very easy to understand. So let's say, for example, as Rashi had said before, let's say he forgot the shua. Or okay, as Tosca says, he forgot that it says also to be over on a shua. But the Braita says, what is the definition of l'sha'avar? Now, l'sha'avar can't be, for example, that when he swears, he thought he ate, and therefore he's swearing I ate, and he didn't realize that actually he hadn't eaten. That, Rashi says, it wouldn't be chayav a korban for that, because that's not considered. It has to be that he had das. It has to be, we learn from the pasuk, that he has to have das when he's making the shvua. And if he didn't know at the time what the circumstances were, then he didn't have that das. So what is the case where he, now again, and if he's over on, and if he made the shvua falsely, the mazid, then there's no korban either, then he's just getting melted. So what is the case with sha'avar where he could be a shogig? What is the case where he's swearing, I didn't eat, for example, and really, I ate, where he can be a shogig on it, and he's going to be chayv, and he's going to be chayv a korban. It can't be that he forgot that he had eaten, because then that wouldn't make him chayv. So the case is, if he says, I know the shvur is after, but I don't know whether he's chayv, I don't know whether I'm chayv a korban for it or not, chayv, then he's chayv. So you see that even if he doesn't know that, so even if he doesn't know that there's a korban, then he's still chayav. So what are you telling me that in the case of shavuot bitui, he's chayav even if he only doesn't know of the lav? And again, the answer is hamani munbaz. The answer is fine. This braita is according to munbaz, who says that shigas korban is shmei shkoga. Abaya was talking according to the chachamim.
Every case of kares is specifically mentioned in the Torah or not?
Yes.
There is no case, no exception to that rule.
As far as I know, yes. As far as I know, every case where something is chayav kares, it says in the Torah, yes. Okay. Now, the part we have in parenthesis over here, Rashi takes out, because the Gemara labels it Lishna Achrina, and usually in the Gemara, Lishna Achrina means a different Lashon that was actually incorporated into the text of the Gemara itself. In other words, you had, sometimes the Gemara will mention, you had one version of a certain sugya that was going around in some of the yeshivas, and a different sugya and a different version that was going around in both. And when Ravina and Ravashi wrote the Gemara, then they incorporated both of them. Here, what it is actually you have different gusas in the Gemara, that you have the second gusa is in parenthesis of the here. Rashi takes it out because we're going to say that according to Munbaz, there's no chiddush in it. And Rashi says there's no reason to have that because it's not so poshut. We just said that Shavuos Bitui is different because there's no kodesh involved. So maybe it's not so poshut. But nevertheless, On the other hand, Tosfos and a lot of the other Rishonim have big questions on Rashi's understanding, and therefore they are Goris, this next part in parenthesis. So Lishnachrina, so a different Gersa, Mani, we have to ask this Braisa that we just said, where he says, I don't know if I'm Chayiv a Korban for it, and we're still saying he's Chayiv and a Korban, because that's the example of Shiluas Shavuas Bitter L'Sha'avar. So who would that be like? Ulema Munbaz. Are you going to say that's a coin to Munbaz? Peter, well, obviously, has to be called a Torah Kula de Lav Chidushu, Madoch, as we said, Madoch and the whole rest of the Torah, where there's no Chidush that he's Chayev Korban for doing something that's Chayev Koris for Mezid, who Omar, Shigas Korban Shmashgaga, and de Lav Chidushu, Omar, and yet Munbaz says Shigas Korban Shmashgaga, yet he says that just being Shogig on the Korban, the fact that he didn't know he had to bring a korban is enough to be a shgaga. Hacha de chidushu lekolshkin. So here we're to chidush. How much more so? El alav rabbanon. So evidently it would have to be according to the rabbanon. Utiyuk de dabaya, and therefore it would contradict dabaya. And the gemara says utiyuk de. In fact, that would be a contradiction. And therefore we would say that not like abaya. We would say that in fact the chachamim disagree in that case as well, and say that the chachamim agree with Munbaz in that case, and say that he would be chayv a korban in that case if he was shogeg on the korban, because there's no korban to talk about. So again, Rashi doesn't like this girsa, because why are you assuming it should be kosher according to Munbaz? But on the other hand, Tosfos brings up a point we started in the studio, we mentioned that who is it that argues with Munbaz is Rabbi Akiva. And so the problem is that according to Rashi, it comes out. Now you have like this. Within Shavuos Bitui, you have an argument in Masechta Shavuos. What happens, is there such a thing as Shigas Shavuos Bitui L'Sha'avar? According to Rabbi Shmuel, no. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no such thing as a shgaga on Shavuos Bitui L'Sha'avar. Mezid sure, if he swears, I ate today, and he knows that he didn't eat today, then he's going to be chayav malchus. But to say that there can be shogeg, that not. The problem is, Tosfos says, who is it that's arguing with Munbaz over here? Is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva over there argues with Rabbi Shmuel. So according to that, why is the Gemara over here assuming that there's no other way to find a Shigas Shavuos Bitui except by not knowing that there's a korban? That might be according to Rabbi Shmuel. It wouldn't be according to Rabbi Akiva. So for that and for other reasons, Tosfos and a bunch of the other Rishonim reject Rashi's explanation, and they say we are in fact Gerdus this part in the Gemara, and we say that yes, it can be poshut to say that Munbaz would make him chayiv in this case, because again, it's less of a chiddush than kol haTorah kula. And we would, in fact, say that this braisa is according to the Rabbanon, namely Rabbi Akiva. So the Ramban, among others, the Ramban talks about, gives the defense of Rashi, that maybe we would say that even Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's cases where Shigas Korban is Shmosh Roga. He just says in his argument with Munbaz, he's saying that you can't apply it over there because then you have nothing left. To consider him a shogeg. So Rabbi Akiva is telling him, in other words, if you're going to douse in the hekish like that, then there's no reason why the Torah should call him a shogeg. But maybe Rabbi Akiva agrees that there can be a reason to say that shigas korban shmosh gaga. And the question, when we were discussing all this time, according to the Rabbanon, and we were discussing the question, in other words, there'd be three opinions. There'd be Munbaz, who learns that there'd be Munbaz. There'd be Rabbi Akiva, who says, who agrees with the basic principle that Shigas Korban Shmosh Raga. And then you have but he disagrees on how Munbaz learns it. And then you have the Rabbanon, who disagrees with the whole premise. So over here, we're talking according to Rabbi Akiva, whereas all this time we've been talking according to the other Rabbanon. The Ramban uses that as a defensive Rashi, therefore. So we could, after all, say that here we are talking according to Rabbi Akiva, whereas before we were talking according to the other Rabbanon, and the other Rabbanon can include Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. Continues the Gemara. For Omer Abaya, also Abaya says another thing, Hakol Moedim B'Truma. Here's another case where a person is, here you have a case where there's no korban per se, but there is Nisim B'Dei Shemayim, and there's no koris, but there's Nisim B'Dei Shemayim. There's no korban, but there is a choymesh that you have to pay, namely when a zor eats truma b'shogig, so over Omer Abaya, Hakol Moedim B'Truma, everybody agrees when it comes to truma that the person, that the zor who ate it, is not chayav the chomesh, is not chayav the extra 25%, unless his shogeg was that he was unaware of the lav on it. But if, let's say, he knew that there's a lav involved, but he didn't know that there's mitzvah b'dei shemayim, or he didn't know that there's a chomesh, then that would not be considered shogeg. That would be considered mezid, and the din with mezid is he's not paying the choymish, he's not paying the keren, the choymish, back to the koyin. If he did it as a magic, then he's paying the keren, but that's that. So again, the question is, hakol moedim man Rabbi Yechanan. Evidently, again, the hakol moedim over here means Rabbi Yechanan. So even though normally he's going to say that it's enough, that even if he knew the lab, he's still considered a shogeg, as long as he didn't know the korig. But here, where there's no korig, then it has to be that he didn't know the lab. So again, the question is, Peter, isn't that obvious? Isn't that obvious in this case because there's no koris? Ki omer Rabbi Yechanan heichad de'ika koris. Because Rabbi Yechanan is only talking about when there's koris involved. Heichad de'ika koris loy. In this case, there's no koris. So obviously, again, Rabbi Yechanan is not holding like Munbaz, that shigas korban shmoshlaga. He's holding like Rabbi Akiva or the Chachamim, according to the Ramban's explanation, that there has to be that he was unaware of the lav or of the kare. Well, over here there's no kare, so obviously by elimination the only thing he can be unaware of is the lav. So why does Abai have to tell us? The answer is still you could have thought ki amar Rabbi Yechanan heichad de'ika kare. Okay, but maybe Rabbi Yechanan only says his concept only when there is kare. Then he's saying it's enough that he doesn't know that there's kare to be mechayiv in a korban. This is all part of the question. Sorry, Pita. Ki Amar Rabbi Yechanan heichad de'ika kares. When does Rabbi Yechanan say that that it's enough if he doesn't know this kares and he's still considered a shogeg? Heichad de'ika kares. Where does kares? Okay, he didn't know about the kares, then he's still considered a shogeg. Heichad de'ika kares. Why? There's no kares. As is true over here, there's no kares for a zor eating truma. If he doesn't amaze it. So Loy, obviously he's not going to say that if he doesn't know about the chorus, because no chorus to not know about. Obviously it has to be that he didn't know about the lab. So what's the chiddush? The answer is, okay, the chiddush is mao de tema. Otherwise, without a bias telling us, you would have thought, Mr. Bamokim chorus, they made it. Maybe Mr. Bidei Shemayim, that a zor guest for eating truma b'mezid, is the equivalent for this purpose of chorus. And therefore, the chishamim b'mr nami l'chayim. And therefore, even if he was shogeg only on the mitzvah, so let's say he knew that as a zor he's not allowed to eat truma, but he didn't know that there was mitzvah b'dei shemayim involved. Maybe Rabbi Yechanan would say by the same token, that's enough to make him a shogeg. No, kamash malon. Therefore, Abaye wants to tell us that not, and that at mitzvah and b'dei shemayim and kares are two different things. They involve the person dies at different ages. Kares also involves that he dies childless, etc. But the point is, in terms of what we're talking about over here, that it's enough according to Rabbi Yechanan. If he's shogeg in the kares, that applies strictly to kares, not mitzvah b'dei shemayim. So therefore, if he knew that it is also for him to eat truma, there is a lab on it. Then he's not paying the chomesh, even though he didn't know about the mitzvah. Rabba Omar, Rabba says no. In fact, Misa b'mokim kares emetis, v'chomish b'mokim korban koi. As a matter of fact, no. Just like we have by Shabbos, where you have kares and you have a korban, by when it comes to zor eating truma b'shogeg, if it was b'mezid, there would be Misa b'dei shemayim, which is, in this case, the equivalent of kares, and you have, if he does it b'shogeg, then it's the equivalent of, then he's paying the chomesh, which is the equivalent of bringing a korban. Therefore, Rabba says, no, not like Abaya. In fact, according to Rabbi Yechanan, according to the Chachamim, if he was unaware that there's nisi b'dei shemayim, he is in fact going to be paying that chumash, because that's the equivalent of not knowing that there was kareis in Shabbos. And since the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to Shabbos, then that would mean here also that it would be that as long as he didn't know there's nisi b'dei shemayim, he's still considered a shergig, and he'd still be bringing the chumash. Okay. So to summarize, again, we have Munbaz hold that Shigas Korban Shmashgaga, that if a person did an Isser, even though he knows that there was a lab, even though he knows there was Kareis, as long as he doesn't know that there was a Korban involved, then he's Chayiv in that Korban. We said that the Chachamim disagree with him. On the surface, the Chachamim includes all the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva and everybody else, although the Ramban distinguishes that maybe Rabbi Akiva would actually agree with Munbaz because he says he can't learn it from there, and the other Chachamim would disagree with them and say that Shizas Korban is not Shmosh Gaga, then the person is considered amazing and he's not bringing a Korban. And then you have, within the Chachamim's opinion, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish arguing, how much does he have to not know? Does he have to not know that there was a lab at all, which is Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rish Lakish, or can it even be that he knew that there was a lab, he just didn't know that there was Kareis, which is Rabbi Yochanan? And then, in the cases when there's no Kareis, namely Shavuot Bitri, then we said Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would both agree that it has to be he didn't know about the lab, because there's no Kareis over there. And similarly, when it comes to Truma, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, according to Abba, according to one version of the Gemara, according to one version of the Rishonim, except Rashi, except we shlugged up Abaya in that, and said the Chachamim would disagree in that case also. And then we have in the case of Truma, where again, Abaya says the same thing. The Chachamim would agree that as long as he didn't, that he has to not know, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would agree that it has to be he didn't know of the lav. And according to Rabba, no, even if he knows of the lav, he can still be chayiv in the chaymesh as long as he doesn't know it's chayiv in the Beshavai. Okay. New topic. We mentioned in the Mishnah the case where a person doesn't know about Iker Shabbos, where he doesn't know about Shabbos at all, or where he doesn't know that today is Shabbos. And we mentioned before in the sugya that concept called Shigas Shabbos Vezadim Malachas, where he doesn't know that today is Shabbos, but he knows the Malachas that are also. So now let's talk about a case where a person actually might not know that today is Shabbos. What is it? Where he loses track of the day. Amar Rav Huna, Hoya Mahalach Baderach Oy Bamidbar, if a person was traveling on the road or in the desert, the Eidi Yadeya Emesai Shabbos, he doesn't know, he loses track of the days, and he doesn't know when Shabbos is. So what does he do? Moina Shisha Yomim Omashamer Yom Echad. What he has to do is, from the day that he realizes he lost track, he needs to count 6 days, and then the seventh day he keeps the Shabbos. Now, of course, the likelihood is that particular day is not Shabbos. Nevertheless, he has to keep it. He has to keep it as Shabbos. So he realizes that he lost track. So he considers that day when he realizes they lost track. He counts that, Rav Huna is saying, as if that was Sunday, and the next day as if that was Monday, and so forth. And then 7 days from that is going to be Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav Amar Meshama Yom Echad Umona Shisha. Chiya Bar Rav says the other way around. The day that he remembered, he doesn't keep because that day itself, Rav Chiya Bar Rav says Shabbos has to come first, before the 6 days of the week. So Chiya Bar Rav would say like this, the day that he realizes he can't keep a Shabbos because he may have already done Malacha that day, but the next day, according to Chiya Bar Rav, is his Shabbos, and after that, he starts counting 6 days of the week. As much as Mamai Kamisigi, what's the underlying machol decision of Huna and Chiya Bar Rav? Why are they arguing whether we put Shabbos first or the weekdays first? So like this, Mar Sava Kibriyot Shel Olam, Rav Huna holds, you have to do like it was when Hashem first created the world. First there were 6 weekdays, then a Shabbos. Therefore, when it comes now, when he's making his own personal Shabbos, it has to be the same kind of thing. That first there's 6 weekdays, and then there's a Shabbos. Omar Sava, whereas Chiya Bar Rav holds Ka Adam Rishon. We have to compare it to the situation of Adam Rishon. Adam was created on Erev Shabbos, so right away then he went into Shabbos. For Adam, the first thing that existed was Shabbos, and only after that the 6 days of the week. So Chiya Bar Rav is saying the same thing. He's recreating that in his own life by doing that, by first having Shabbos, and then 6 days of the week. There's a lot to talk about this, and we're going to continue now in the Gemara dealing with this whole case. But there's a letter from the Friedrich Rebbe that says you can find in Igros Kodesh that extends over well over 100 pages. That says he wrote it to the Rebbe, and there's sometime in the Tzaddiks, and it tells a very very long story involving a couple of old friends who were misnagdim, who eventually became chassidim of the Baal Shem Tov. A central figure in there is Rav Mordechai Hodadoker, and then you have two other friends of his that he eventually brings to chassidus as well. The story as we have it is not even complete. It breaks off in the middle of the story, so who knows how long the original story was, but in the printed Igros Kodesh, it runs to 120 odd pages. Anyway, in the course of that story, the Friedrich Rebbe mentions a teaching that the Baal Shem Tov taught about this Maimah Chazal over here, about this case where the person is in the desert and loses track and what he does as far as counting Shabbos. So the Baal Shem Tov explained that there are two kinds of avodah. There's the weekday avodah and there's the Shabbos avodah. The weekday avodah is represented by Torah, and the avodah of Shabbos is represented by Tefillah. So you have a person is in the desert, a person is very much into Torah, but he doesn't know about the avodah of Shabbos, the avodah of Tefillah. So what he has to do is he has to work with the six midot to remember why he was created, as we're saying, to b'riyas shel olam, like the way the world was created. What was a person put in this world for? Not just to learn Torah and forget about the one who gave the Torah, but rather to remember to realize the greatness of Hashem, which you accomplish through Tefillah. So therefore, so once he realizes that he forgot, as Rashi says, he realized that he forgot, which b'pnimius means that he forgot about Hashem who gave the Torah. So he has to be working with his six midot. And he has to be working with the six midot to achieve the avodah of Tefillah, which represents the idea, which is Shabbos. Whereas on the other hand, that's Rav Huna, then you have Chia Barav, Chia Meloshin Chayim, so a person who has a Chayus already in the Torah, meaning that already he's learning Torah Lishma, so then by him you can do it the other way around, then he davens, and that gives him a Chayus for the following Torah that he's going to learn. So you have the case where the person needs to work on himself in order to be able to achieve the avodah tefillah, because otherwise he's forgetting about Hashem, versus you have the person who already remembers about Hashem as he's learning Torah, where he starts with avodah tefillah, and that gives him a chayus in his learning. That was the gist of this teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. The Friedrich Rebbe mentions over there in the letter that this was actually one of the first things that this Rav Mordechai heard from when he came to the Baal Shem Tov, and it's one of the things that attracted him to the Baal Shem Tov and made him a chassid. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. By the way, an interesting point over here worth mentioning, and the Rebbe mentions it a number of times in Sichas. So this stuff was said. What are the chances that the day that he's observing a Shabbos, as we're going to see soon how he observed it, is really Shabbos? Obviously, it's only a 1 in 7 chance. Nevertheless, the Radvaz learns that actually when we're saying over here that he has to keep it as Shabbos, it's actually on a deraisa level. The Radvaz actually learns that it's literally a deraisa thing. The Torah tells us to keep Shabbos. The Radvaz actually learns an interesting concept. The Torah doesn't actually say that it has to be a given day of the week has to be Shabbos. There has to be that 1 out of every 7 days is Shabbos. So in a particular area, people accept that today is Saturday and therefore it's Shabbos for them, which the Radbaz mentions is in connection with the date line. If you have according to the Radbaz, whatever the local people consider to be Saturday is Shabbos, which is, of course, very relevant if you cross the date line. You have a number of different opinions in halacha where the date line is, and not all of them coincide with what we have nowadays as the international date line. And therefore, we have a concept that some posts can say that, for example, if a person is visiting Hawaii or one of the other Pacific islands over there, he might actually have to keep 2 days Shabbos. According to this, Radbaz, it's not necessary. You ask the local goyim what day is today, what day of the week is today. They tell you it's Saturday. Therefore, it's Shabbos. So therefore, the Radvaz says, in this case, the person has nobody to ask. Therefore, he sets up every seventh day for him in Shabbos, and that is Shabbos on a Daraisa level for him. Rashi, on the other hand, over here, says that not, that the whole thing is only the Rabbanan.
Which whole thing?
this whole concept that that he counts every seventh day and can keep it as Shabbos is Dirabon, because on a Daraita level, he doesn't know which day is Shabbos, and there's no way, we're going to say later on, he makes Kiddush and Abdullah. How is he making Kiddush and Abdullah if it might or might not be Shabbos? So Rashi says, okay, Dirabon told him to do it, even though we have a concept, you're not allowed to make a Brachal of Atollah, but in this case, in order that he shouldn't forget Shabbos entirely, so he's going to make Kiddush and Abdullah. The Radvaz says, you don't need that. Actually, the Ritva brings up a possibility, maybe he would have to actually say them without Shema Malchus. But the Radvaz says, nothing doing. It is actually Shabbos for him on a Daraisa level.
But it says, Shavsos al Tishmeru, my Shabbos is you'll keep. So how can
the Radvaz understands that what means is there's a mitzvah to keep one out of every 7 days of Shabbos.
But that's not the Shabbos of Hashem.
Well, it is, because Hashem worked on 6 days, created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. Therefore, when you keep every seventh day as Shabbos, then that's that. So usually it has to be the day that everybody else in that area has accepted as Shabbos, but when there's no people in that area to ask, then the Radvaz learns that now you have your own personal Shabbos, and that becomes your Shabbos on a Daraisa level. There's a sicha in Chelek Ches where the Rebbe, in the middle of the sicha, the Rebbe starts dealing with this issue. The beginning of the sicha is talking about the specialty of the Shabbos after Shavuos. We're coming up to Shavuos now, about that it includes in it the week before, the week going into it, which is the week that contains Shavuos, as well as the week after it. And then the Seich HaDvarim, the Rebbe starts talking about this concept of Shabbos depends on the counting of the people, where the Rebbe explains that what we're saying over here, again, according to the Radvaz, we're saying on a Daraisa level, the person's individual count creates that today is Shabbos. And even according to Rashi, we still say that the counting, the fact that the Jewish people collectively count a certain day as Shabbos, is that to a certain extent makes it Shabbos, and Rebbe analyzes based on that a statement from the Mechilta, and so it's a whole sikha in Chelek Ches, Parshas Nasi. The Rebbe also connects it now, we're still in the middle of Sfira, connects it with the importance of Sfira Sa'odna, where your count is what creates the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And we have, and you have the famous question: if a person becomes bar mitzvah, let's say in the middle of Sfira Sa'omer, does he continue counting with a bracha? Because is it a complete count or not? So the count is a very important thing. That's what creates Shabbos. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Nathan. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction apparently on Rav Muna. A brayta says, "Hoya mahalach baderech, any day ain't a Shabbos. Person is going on the road; he doesn't know when Shabbos is. Mishamu yoyim echad l'shisha." He keeps one day for every six, meaning not one day out of every six, but in other words, there are 6 days, and there's a day that he keeps. My love, Moina Shishu Mashamayana. I'm sorry, the question is actually on Chiyah Barab. Doesn't that mean that he counts 6 days, and then following those 6 days, he's counting one day of Shabbos, which is what Rav Huna said, not what Chiyah Barab says? The answer is right. That's not necessarily what the Braita means. Meshama Yemechod Amon Yeshisha. Maybe it means that he keeps the one day of Shabbos, and then he counts six more days, which is what Chiyah Barab is saying. The Gemara says Yehochi. So then, why does the Braita use the expression Meshama Yemechod Lishisha? What does it mean? He keeps one day for the six. If you're going to say he kept the one day first. Meshama Yemechod Amon Yeshisha in the Braita. It should be he counts one day and then he counts six. And that would be clearer. But so that doesn't work according to Chiyah Barab. But Oid Tanya, and besides which we learn in another Braisa, Hoya Mahalach Baderach Oiva Midrash, any day Emesai Shabbos, person is going on the road or in the desert and he doesn't know when Shabbos is, Moina Shisho Mashama Yamechad. He counts 6 days and then he keeps one day Shabbos. So that's clearly according to Rav Huna. I think Moses, you're right. You're right, that's a contradiction against Chiyah Barab. So that's it, the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like Rav Huna, that you first have the 6 weekdays and then Shabbos. In a few places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea that since Shabbos is Tainug, so you have to have first you have to have the work of the weekdays before you're able to achieve the Tainug of Shabbos. Okay, so now, what do we actually do each of those days? What he has to do is like this. Now, the fact of the matter is, every day might actually be Shabbos. Even according to the Radvaz, that the day that he observes the Shabbos is considered Shabbos on Daraisa level for him. The fact remains, the other days, each one of them might be Shabbos. So therefore, the Rava says, each day he can only do as much work as he needs for his panasa for that day, as much as he needs for food for that day, because otherwise it would be pekorach nefesh. Except for that one day which he keeps the Shabbos. As much as, what do you mean? So what, on that day he's supposed to die of hunger? Now, obviously, if he's able to fast for a day, then he has to do that and not do malacha. Or similarly, it says in Shulchan Aruch, because let's say if he has food available, or if he's able to do non-malacha activities and get food, let's say he's with a whole caravan where they all lost track of Shabbos, so let's say everybody else in the caravan are goyim. So let's say he were to be able to make an arrangement with them that he'll do things for them that are not Yisurim of Shabbos, let's say feed their animals or whatever, and in return they'll give him food, then he's obligated to do that. But if, let's say, the only way that he's going to have food for Shabbos is to do malacha, so then we're saying he's allowed to do malacha, but we're also saying that if he's able to get food, or if he's able to do without food for that day, without doing malacha, then he's obligated to do that. So if you're telling me that the day itself that he can't, so that means even on the rest of the days of the week he's living on a shoestring. So if you say that on Shabbos he's not even able to do malacha at all, then it means that he's going to die of hunger. Okay, then what does the Parnassus? Okay, so what he does is, on what he thinks is Friday, on the day that he treats as Friday, the day before his Shabbos, he does double as much work, so therefore he has enough for Friday and Shabbos. Problem is, why? The Gemara asks, "Not Shabbos Avoy," and that doesn't work. What if what he counts as Friday is really Shabbos, and then he's doing Malacha on Shabbos for after Shabbos, and it's not for the Korach Nefesh, and he can't do that. No, rather the din is every day he can do for himself his parnasa, even on that day that he treats as Shabbos. Even on the day that he's counting as Shabbos, he's still doing the same malacha that he does every other day, because otherwise he's going to die of hunger. And he can't do it from the day before, because actually the day before might be Shabbos instead. So then the question is, okay, in that case, then how is he distinguishing that day? In that case, if he's doing malacha every day because of the korach nefesh, then in what way is that day distinct from any of the other ones? The answer is, the kiddush of avdalta. He makes kiddush and havdalah on that day, and in that way he makes it distinct from the other days. So again, the Ritva brings up a possibility that maybe it means it should be without Shem Malchus, because after all, it might not be Shabbos. Then he says that no, it's fine, because since the whole concept of not making a bracha levatola is the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon can be matirit in this case for covered Shabbos. And again, according to the Radvaz, it's not a question in the first place, because according to the Radvaz, right now, this is his Shabbos on a Daraisa level. Tosfos mentions over here, now one exception is, when we're saying that he can do Kedei Parnasasai, another exception is also he can walk as far as necessary, because eventually you don't want him to be stuck in this desert forever and never able to keep Shabbos properly and always having to do Malacha on the day that might be Shabbos. Therefore, he's allowed to walk, even though, as we said before, you have an Issur Tchumen on Shabbos and maybe even an Issur of 12 mil, according to the Rambam, at a Daraisa level, but he's allowed to walk as far as he can on Shabbos. And he's allowed to walk as far as he can on Shabbos in order to get him, that's Tosfos' first explanation, in order to get himself out of the situation. According to Tosfos' second explanation, that day Taka he's not allowed to. But still, that wouldn't be enough. Actually, the other way around. According to the first explanation in Tosfos, he's not allowed to walk outside the Torm on the day that he's treating as Shabbos. And according to the second explanation, he is. That second explanation is what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So he is allowed to walk as much as he needs to in order to get himself out of this desert and get himself back to civilization. Okay. Omar Rava, another din in this connection, Rava mentions, Im hayam makir mikta tayem shayasabai, suppose that he knows a little bit about the day that he left. Meaning, in other words, so let's say, so he doesn't know what day of the week it is. He doesn't remember what day of the week he left on the trip. But he knows, let's say, that today is the third day since we left or the fourth day since we left. Now, obviously, they didn't leave on Shabbat itself. So therefore, when it comes to the eighth day, from when he realizes he loses track, that he lost track, obviously that day is not Shabbat. So then Rabbi says, Oysa Malacha, Kalayim Kalay. So then he can do Malacha that whole day. And in fact, the post can say he should do Malacha all that day, because then if he can do Malacha all that day, enough for an entire week, then good. Then he doesn't have to work the rest of the week. And therefore, there's less of a chance of Chilul Shabbos. So unless it's Shita. Okay, that's obvious. Yeah, obviously, then in that case, his 8th day and his 15th day and his 22nd day, etc., are not going to be Shabbos, because obviously he didn't leave on Shabbos. The answer is Mao Detema. Okay, but if you didn't have Rava's statement, you would have thought, fine, given to Shabbos by nothing, given he didn't leave on Shabbos, obviously, you would think Mamale Shabbos and Nami by nothing, then obviously he didn't leave on Erev Shabbos either. Therefore, behind Nami, so therefore, this person, E Nami Bahamisha Bashabas and Nafik. So even if it happened that he left on Thursday, Lishter de la Mabit Malacha Shreyami, we should be allowing him to do Malacha 2 days. Because again, let's say he knows today is the 8th day since I left. So fine, obviously it's not Shabbos, so he can do Malacha. But we would argue that also the 9th day since he left should also be Mutter to do Malacha. Because the 9th day would be what? If the first day that he left was Friday, the second day is Shabbos. And similarly, the 8th and 9th days are respectively Friday and Shabbos, so he should be Malacha. He should be Mutter to do Malacha on the 8th and 9th day, because neither of those, because he obviously didn't leave on Shabbos, and he obviously didn't leave on Friday. So therefore, neither the 8th nor the 9th can possibly be Shabbos. Either they could be, for example, the Sunday and Monday, or Monday and Tuesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday, etc., but not Friday and Shabbos. So you would think that, Kamash Malon, therefore, Rava tells us, no, it's only the 8th day that he's allowed to do Malacha, not the 9th. Zimnin, the Mashbach Shayarja, because it could happen that he found a caravan that was going, Umikri, the Nafik, and it happened, therefore, they left on Friday. So it is still possible that the 9th day of his trip could be Shabbos if he actually left on Friday. Because it is possible for him to find a caravan that's leaving on Friday and leave with it. So therefore, the only day we can be master him is the 8th and then the 15th and so forth to do Malacha. Because he definitely, even if a caravan was leaving on Shabbos, he obviously didn't leave with that caravan itself. Okay, so those are the dinim in a nutshell of a person who gets lost in the desert. You have a short simon in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchos Shabbos that deals with these dinim, simon shin mem dalet, that discusses these various points that we mentioned about the point about the 8th day, and the point about that if he can avoid doing malacha and he can still get food without it, then he's able to. But if he can't, then he's allowed to. Then he's allowed to do kadei panasot every day, etc. Okay.
The halacha is he has to count the days of Chol before he can determine
Shabbos. The day of Shabbos, right. So he counts 6 days of Chol. So the day that he realizes he lost track, for him that's Sunday. The next day for him is Monday and so forth. And then the 7th day from when he realizes he lost track is his Shabbos. And again, he said, in terms of Malacha, it's the same thing every day as far as Malacha. In terms of walking, according to Tosfos, the second explanation also, there's no difference because he's allowed to walk as far as he can in order to get out of the situation. The only way in which he's distinguishing Shabbos from weekday in this case is by making Kiddush and Abdallah. Actually, you have Achronim talking to Mishnah Berurah, talks about the question, should he be putting on tefillin every one of those days? Should he, Achronim talk about the question, should he be davening Shabbos davening or weekday davening? But in terms of Kiddush and Abdallah, he makes that day distinct from all the other ones by making Kiddush and Abdallah. Again, according to the Ritva's Maskana, he says the Shema Malchus, because even if it's only the Rabbanan are allowing it in this case. And according to the Radbaz, the whole thing that now he has his own personal Shabbos exists actually on a Daraisa level, and therefore he's entitled to make Kiddush and Abdallah.
If he's in jail and he cannot, for some reason, count the days,
well,
like my father was in this situation during the war, he couldn't count the days, he didn't know.
Right, so I guess it would be the same kind of thing. He doesn't know what day is Shabbos. I mean, if there's a way to find out, if you can ask the jailers, if it's possible, I don't know, but I would imagine, you know, even, for example, in the concentration camps and whatever, the Nazis and Maximum had their weekends also, so I imagine you could know that way. But if you can't, then, yeah, it would be the same situation as we're talking about here.
So you count any 6 days and
so
the seventh?
From when you realize you lost track, you count 6 days and the 7th day is Shabbos, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.